Hey everyone, welcome back to another episode of the Millionaire Real Estate Agent Podcast. I'm Jason Abrams, and this is the place where we lift the curtain on the world of real estate like never before. Every week, I sit down with visionaries, pirates, and mavericks. We're here to document, demonstrate, and most importantly, demystify their game-changing models and systems. What secrets propel them to the top? And how are they living their dreams? This is about passion, it's about strategy, but above all, it's about real, tangible success. So buckle up and let's dive in. This is the Millionaire Real Estate Agent Podcast. Hey everybody, we are back and I want you to know we have a special show today. Dare I say, Roll Tide. Now, I know that was triggering for a lot of the NCAA football fans out there, but we mean it in a different way. I'm speaking about none other than Trisha Gray. Now, if you're lucky enough to know Trisha, then you probably know her husband, Jason. They are in business together, and they are a consecutive 500-plus unit team in Tuscaloosa, Alabama. How do they do it, friends? Quite simply, they have become the real estate team in that community, and they are very purposeful about staying there. They're going to talk about how they use college football and tailgates to do it. They're going to talk about how they hold standards, and Trisha is going to explicitly explain how they run this database that produces this number of transactions every year. Friends, buckle up. This is Trisha Gray. And I'm joined today by Trisha Gray. How are you doing?
I'm doing great, Jason. Thanks for having me.
Now, it's an honor for us to have you. And we're going to talk about a lot of things today, but I always start with numbers because they matter. 555 units, $180 million in production last year. And you didn't do it in, like, I don't know, Malibu or LA. You did this in Tuscaloosa, Alabama.
Yes. Roll Tide.
Okay, Roll Tide. You just offended 90% of the fan base, but that's okay because the people that listen to this show, they're all winners also, just like Alabama football fans. Walk me through this because nobody starts this successful and we all have a path to get there. How did you end up in the greatest industry in the world?
Well, strangely enough, I knew I wanted to be a realtor in the eighth grade. So I would come home and tell my mom I wanted to be a realtor. And she was like, you want to do what? Because back then, usually you didn't, you know, go to college to be a realtor. But I just knew that's what I wanted to do. I had an eighth grade boyfriend. His mom was a realtor. I saw what she did and I said, that's what I want to do. So I went to the University of Alabama. I pursued a degree in finance with a concentration on real estate. That's as close as to a real estate degree that I could get. While I was in college, I did an internship for a top realtor in Tuscaloosa and kind of learned the ropes a little bit, graduated and yep.
Walk me through that for a second, because you just said something that I think is absolutely genius and a really underutilized asset, which is college interns in our industry. So to me, it feels like the biggest no-brainer in the history of Earth because Gary Keller, and by the way, if you're new to the show, Gary Keller, Jay Papasan, and Dave Jenks wrote the book, The Millionaire Real Estate Agent, which is the namesake for our show. So when I say Gary, that's who I'm talking about. Gary got a degree in real estate. And the reason he chose it was because his dad, he was in college. He didn't know what he wanted to do. He wanted to be a rock musician, Trisha, but he figured out, number one, he wasn't good enough. And number two, he wasn't willing to practice enough to become that good. His dad set him up on a day with a real estate agent, another day with an insurance agent, and another day with a lawyer. And Gary loved how the real estate agent's day was and decides to become an agent. Very few people know in eighth grade what they want to do. Why do you think more people don't use interns in their business?
I don't know. We use a lot of them being in a college town. There's a much bigger real estate school at the university now, and there's always students who are interested in interning for real estate. So, you know, if you have a college campus in your city, it's a no-brainer.
Do you actually just tell the college you're looking for an intern, or do you put out an ad, interns wanted? How do you do it?
Yeah, so we got to know the man who's in charge of the real estate department. Actually, his son ended up working on our team and is still on our team. So that helps. But anytime we need an intern, we call him and say, hey, give me your top five interns who you think would be a great fit, who's looking for, you know, a career in real estate. And we interview them. And we always have two or three or four interns working at a time.
And do you pay them or are these unpaid internships?
Some are paid and some are unpaid.
Friends, we haven't even gotten to the model section yet, and you just got what I think might be one of the greatest tips ever, which is get in touch with whoever at the Houston University runs interns or the real estate department and make sure you have, especially going into the summer season.
Another department, if you have like a communications or hospitality department at the university, a lot of times they will help with our client events, and those are always unpaid interns too, because they're getting, you know, college credits or something for doing that.
I love that. All right. So you come out of school, you have the finance, you have a forced specialty that you kind of like lean in the real estate industry. What happens next?
So where I was interning was a local company in town. So as soon as I graduated, I got my real estate license and went to work for the local brokerage. And I was there for 13 years.
No. You don't just get to yada, yada, yada. I now do 200 million in volume. Yeah. Is it a success right off the bat? Like, do you just start crushing it? Or are you like me?
It wasn't. And there was no training where I was. I'll never forget my broker walked up to me and he was like, honey, you're going to sink or swim in this industry. And he was right, because a lot of people were sinking. What I did as a new agent with zero training, I just went around to all the seasoned agents in my office. And I said, hey, if you come across any prospects that you feel like is a waste of time, send them to me. I will work them like $1 million sale and I'll send you a referral fee. And that's kind of how I built my business the first year or two or three. It was a slow go. I think I sold 10 my first year and then my second year. And every year it just got a little better. And I was at the local brokerage for 13 years. In my 10th year, my husband, who had been in property management for 8 years, ended up getting his license and going full-time into real estate. And so he joined the local brokerage that I was at. We were selling about 100 units a year between the both of us. And all we had was one part-time assistant. So we were killing ourselves to sell real estate, basically.
But I hear this all the time, right? Which is, I'm doing this with my spouse. So although we're quote unquote killing ourselves, were you spending a ton of time together? I mean, you're in the car showing homes together, I'm guessing, and you're talking real estate. Does it become all encompassing?
Not really, because we never went on showings together, never went on listing appointments together. And at the local brokerage, we weren't a team. There were no teams in Tuscaloosa before Keller Williams came to town. So I was a single agent doing my thing. He was a single agent doing his thing. And then we had a part-time assistant who helped both. But when you're doing that much production with a, you know, 20-hour a week assistant, you're working nights and weekends and on vacations. And we really were killing ourselves trying to be top producers.
Now, do you find that you're both working at that time, the same sphere of influence, or were you each operating your own sphere of influence, or were you fighting over listings? Because I'm sure you'd beat him every day of the week.
I don't know about that. He's pretty good. But
You don't know Jason, audience. I'm telling you, he's a great guy also. He comes into the story as we go. How did you do it?
Well, so I was pretty much working a lot of my sphere and my past clients, because at that time I had been in real estate 10, 11 years. And he came from a background in property management. Well, all the properties that he managed were all condos that were actually owned by individuals. And so he began to build this huge condo market share as he started. And I was focused more on first and second time home buyers. So our clientele was really completely different.
Love that. So y'all come to Keller Williams, you pretty much open it up, right? And so you move there. Is that when you start the team?
Yes. So like I said, we were, you know, working 80 hours a week and, you know, I'd been recruited by other companies, but I always told them, I said, if it ain't broke, don't fix it. Well, what I didn't realize is that it was very, very, very broken. And I didn't realize until I went to Mega Camp when they were recruiting us for Keller Williams, me and Jason went to Mega Camp. And I'll never forget seeing these agents, specifically Ben Kenny, had probably the biggest impact on us. You know, he was up on stage on a panel. They had all his numbers. And the past year, he had sold 600 units. Well, I remember thinking, you know, me and Jason sold 100 last year. We both worked 80 hours a week. I wonder how much he must work to sell 600. I couldn't wrap my brain around it. So after the session, I went and found Ben Kenny. And I was like, Ben, how many hours a week do you work? I can't fathom this. And he said, 30, 35. And that's when I realized, I was like, that's what I want. I want this big business because I'm very driven. But also, that's when I realized that I really didn't have a life. And I had two small kids at the time. They were 1 and 5. And I was like, I'm missing so much. I'm missing all of their weekend stuff, all their extracurricular activities. And that's when I realized how broken my business really was. And that's when I looked at Jason and I said, now that we've seen what we've seen, we can't go back to our local brokerage.
Okay, stop the tape. I want to jump in because I hear this all of the time when I interview top real estate agents, which was, I was doing great. And that's what she said. She said, look, I was doing really well. We were doing 100 units a year. I didn't know what I didn't know. Then I go to this event. I hear Ben Kinney. I find out he's doing 600 and 700 transactions and he's working 30 or 35 hours a week. And I say, that's a whole new way of thinking. It defies the way that I was thinking about it. And all of a sudden it becomes possible to her. We hear this all the time. You see, the truth of the matter is that every one of us, the reason you love this show is because you're a journeyer and you want to maximize your potential. That's what you're all about. That's why the front of the book MREA says it's not about the money. It's about maximizing your potential, maximizing your life, being the best that you can be. And seeing examples of that is what sets us free. This is why you see top people all over the world, across all industries, across all sports, getting into coaching. They want to be around somebody that's going to think bigger than they are. And I hear this constantly, which was, I was happy where I was and I thought I was doing great. I went somewhere else and I heard a bigger way of living, and now my life doesn't even resemble what it once did. That's what she just said. Friends, come to Mega Camp. Come to family reunion. Get into a bigger room and hear about bigger businesses. Keep listening to this show because that's why we're here. To bring you the ideas that can make your world bigger. It's so good. By the way, if you haven't listened to the Ben Kinney show that we did, that episode, do yourself a favor and go find it. He literally preached knowledge from start to finish. I love that. So you launch the team and the business grows and we end up here today. Jason and you still both work in the business?
We both still work in the business. So when we launched the team, we had no idea how to launch a team. Like I said, there were zero teams in Tuscaloosa before Keller Williams. And so we read the MREA literally, and we just followed the model from step one. We hired a full-time assistant was the first thing we did. We hired a marketing person, and then we hired our first full-time buyer agent. Because at the time we did have too many leads, we couldn't service all the leads that we had. So that's how we started. In our first year, we did 250 transactions. And then we, kind of grown since then, really by following the model.
That's fantastic. So there's got to be, I love following the model, but there has to be something that y'all do extraordinarily well in order to do this number of units. What is that thing?
So I think for us, it's creating an environment and a culture of high productivity and high fun. We have a lot of fun on our team, but we also are highly productive. Last year we did 555. Well, we only have 10 agents on our team, and that includes me and Jason, who are only on the listing side. And so we create these extremely high standards for agents on our team, and we have a very high dependent model. So we pay for everything for our team members, but we also have a very high standard. So to stay on our team, you have to sell a minimum of 30 transactions a year or equivalent to 10 million in volume.
Okay, so I want to unpack this. But before we do, friends, I know half of you are driving right now. I get it. Don't worry about trying to take notes. I'm taking the notes, literally in real time. If you want to get a copy of the notes, go to mreanotes.com. Enter your email address. Every Thursday, we send out all the notes from the episode. So we do the work. Okay, Trisha, I love this idea. But here's the thing. I'm going to have 10 agents on the team. I'm going to do 555 units. I'm going to hold them to a standard of 30 deals a year or $10 million in volume. Tell me exactly how to do that.
It all starts with the interview process, because the main thing that me and Jason look for when we're hiring an agent is someone who's internally driven. We feel like we can teach just about anything else, but if we know that we cannot want it for them more than they want it for themselves. Every time we hire an agent and we want them to be a top producer more than they want it, it doesn't work on our team. So it starts there.
I love that, by the way. Gary Keller once told me that when he hires, he's looking for speed and intelligence. Everything else, he says, can be taught. That's similar to what you're saying, which is they have to want the kind of success that you're going to demand of them, or they're just not going to make it. So anyone listening is going to ask the question, great, I'd love to hire people that have an internal drive. Where do you find them? Because I seem to be finding everybody else.
Yeah. Well, one thing is whenever we do interview someone, whether it's a new realtor or someone who's been in the business, we tell them upfront and very quickly that the standard on our team is 30. And most people, if they're not internally driven, they check out themselves really fast. They know they can't do 30. So it's kind of a non-point.
And are you constantly lead generating for people to interview, or do you wait to lose an agent before you go find a new one?
I'm always looking for my MAPS coach says I need to recruit more than I am. But we have such a low turnover on our team. In the last 9 years, we've lost 8 agents total. 2 of those got out of the business, 3 we let go, and 3 stayed in real estate doing something else. So because of the low turnover, I mean, I'd be lying if I said I was out recruiting all the time. I'm not, but we are constantly keeping an eye out for someone who catches our attention, whether we're doing a deal with them and we realize that they have a lot of talent, they seem really driven, or if it's someone that we come across just in our everyday life, you know, we will pursue them if they're not in real estate to get in real estate if we think they're one of those people that's really driven.
And looking for this internal drive, and I know I'm beating this up, but I think this is so important because if I fail on this step, the rest of them won't matter. Is there a process that you use to interview them that reveals that? Or are you using the Ouija board method, which is if it feels like I use the force, I can tell. It just, how do you do it?
Well, I remember, I don't know if it was Gary who said this, but somebody said to me at some point in my career that people who are internally driven are good at any job they've ever been at. You know, so when we are interviewing people, we go through their whole job history. You know, had they ever been fired? If they've ever been fired, they're probably not internally driven, because people who are super driven, they're going to do really great at whatever job they're at. So we love the KPA. We KPA everybody, go through the whole process. And that's helpful to really see who's driven and who's motivated. And we have a long interviewing process that we go through, and that's how we tell.
I love that. For those of you that are not with Keller Williams, because we have listeners from every company, the KPA is nothing more than a personality assessment. It's also nothing less than the most important thing to help you make a good hire. If you put people into roles that don't naturally fit their personality, they may succeed. However, they're going to be stressed in some way. And how that shows up in your life when you do a job that's outside of your natural personality is going to be different for everybody. The idea is to pick a role, figure out what's most important in that role, and then find people that are naturally suited to do that job as opposed to stretch. All right. So number one, interview the process and make sure I get internally driven folks. What's number two?
Number two is to really make sure they understand what the expectations are up front. We go through a 30, 60, 90 with them. And one thing that we do on our team, I mentioned we're highly dependent, is we pay for a 36 touch for all of our agents' database. So we pay for that. So one of the things up front that's really important to get them into production quickly is they have to have 200 contacts in their database by 90 days. So we can start marketing to those people. We really just set the expectations up front. We talk about how exactly we want them to respond to internet leads, how we want them to, you know, talk to their database, how often. We just go through all those expectations up front. And then my director of ops meets with our agents once a week to make sure they're hitting our goals, doing the activities. Me and Jason meet with our agents once a quarter to also continue to, you know, hold them accountable to everything that we expect.
So let me ask you this. If I say to somebody, you have to do 30 deals at least a year, that's a great thing to say. And they're like, yeah, okay, I'll do it. You're actually saying something slightly different, which is the standard is that they do these 30 deals, but it sounds like you're holding them accountable to a series of actions, not just the end result. Am I hearing that right?
Yes, exactly. Because, you know, if they're not doing the activities up front, they're not going to hit their 30. And the few people that we've parted ways with, it's usually evident very quickly that they're not doing their activities and they know they're not going to, you know, come close to hitting their 30. But most of our agents sell more than 30. You know, when you make that a standard, it kind of becomes, it's the low end of the standard. We think it's the high end going into it when we came up with this standard, but it's turned out to really be the low end because everyone's so competitive and they want to sell more.
I love that. Friend, just remember, any standard that you don't enforce is nothing more than a suggestion. So walk me through what the actions are. What are these agents doing in order to have this success?
One, we do Boomtown and we do some internet leads. They're only allowed to keep 100 leads in their Boomtown at a time. I think I actually learned that from you, Jason, years ago. And so they're expected to, you know, speed to lead. They're expected to answer these leads immediately as quickly as possible, to follow up with the leads. Also, with our 36 touch, we always have several client events a year. They're expected to contact their clients, invite them to the events. Of course, we don't make it mandatory to be in the office. We don't have office hours because they are still independent contractors. But the agents who succeed are the agents in our world anyway, are the ones that come to the office. We have one big office and it's 10 of us in there. I'm in there with them. And so it's loud, but it's also a great learning environment. And so the agents that succeed are the ones that are coming in every day.
So when I look up at the 550 units, give or take, what portion as a percentage is kind of coming from sphere of influences and the 36 touch? Is that half? Is it 30%? What do you guess?
About 50% comes from past clients, SOI, and referrals from past clients. Our next biggest lead source are realtor referrals. And I believe that's come from all of our reviews online. We're very intentional with reviews, and that's something we started doing a couple years ago. So every time we have a closing, not only do we ask the client to leave a review, but we ask the home inspector to leave a review, the lender to leave a review, the title company to leave a review. And now we've become the most reviewed real estate team or brokerage in the city. And so that has actually created a lot of realtor referrals. And we weren't even anticipating that. We were anticipating, you know, maybe more buyer or seller clients from that. But our next best lead source has been realtor referrals just from Google reviews.
Oh my gosh, that is so smart. You're literally getting 3 to 4 positive reviews for every one deal as opposed to one review from every one deal because you're bringing in all of the people that worked on the transaction to leave you a review?
Yes. And if it's a husband, wife, we ask for both of them to leave a review also.
Absolutely genius. Tell me about your 36 touch plan. So it's a series of touches. Some of them are events. What are some of the touches that you think are the most important to keeping the system working?
Okay. We do one Easter event every year. We do a crawfish boil in the summer because the Easter event is more family friendly. And then the crawfish boil is more for, you know, maybe people without kids. It's not really a family event. It's more of a fun event. And then we recently purchased a downtown spot that's on campus. And now we host tailgates for the 5 or 6 home games that we have. So we invite clients to that. So now we're up to, I think, like a 47 touch at this point because of the tailgates that we've added. Because then you add in texting and calling your clients to invite them to that. So that kind of adds more touches.
I just want to jump in. It goes without saying that anytime you're going to be using the phone or text message or doing anything, you want to be TCPA compliant. You want to run your business in a legal way. I love what she said about tailgates. Did y'all hear that? Like, I get it. If you live in Tuscaloosa, Alabama, if you live in Ann Arbor, Michigan, if you live in one of these places, you live in Austin, Texas, these are places where football is life, but I want to broaden it larger than football. What's the thing that goes on in your area that everybody is into? And then how do you take your message to that place? It makes perfect sense to me. Look, when you think about real estate in Tuscaloosa, Trisha wants you to think about her and her team. So she needs to be where everybody is, part of the energy. That means I'm hosting the coolest tailgate in town. That is a no-brainer. Ask yourself this. Where is the energy in my neighborhood or city coming from and going to? And then how do I become a part of the events that foster that energy? That's how you need to be thinking.
We just started with Fellow. Well, that's 2 emails a month. But before we did fellow, we did the just a neighborhood nurture. So that was 12 emails a year.
But by the way, just to jump in here, if you don't know about fellow and Ryan Young, find out about it. I think it's an awesome piece of technology that a lot of top agents are using. Love that guy.
Yes, it's been very cool. And then we do 4 items of value a year. And the ones that I feel like is important, we're in the South. And so we send out an SEC football schedule magnet. That's the favorite one. Everyone loves our magnets. And then we also do Thanksgiving cards. I believe that's important because no one sends Thanksgiving cards. Everyone sends Christmas cards. Well, no one remembers your Christmas card, but they do remember your Thanksgiving card. So we do that. And then we usually do some seeds in the spring, talking about, you know, your referrals make my business bloom or something cute like that. And then we'll do a fun 4th of July firework glasses or something like that.
I love it. I'm actually, as you know, I'm on your mailing list. And so I get the SEC schedule and then I write in all the Michigan football games next to it. And I was just thrilled about this season and how it all worked out. Okay, so I'm going to do the interview process. I'm setting clear expectations. I'm rolling out the actions that they're going to take. What's next?
Well, a couple other things that we do. One thing that I think kind of sets us apart too is we have really branded ourselves in 2 different ways. So we have the Grey Group, which is our team. We also have a different brand called the Condo Guys. Well, I mentioned earlier that my husband's from property management. Well, our lead buyer agent is also from the same property management company that my husband was from. And so they have sold so many condos and we're up to like 53% of condo market share. Years ago, we started branding them as the Condo Guys. And so now on our team, once you sell 100 condos, you get to become a condo guy. And through that, we've just really dominated the condo market. So it's kind of a niche that we found because of their previous occupations. And it's been a big part of our business. It's usually about the condos are about 50% of our business every year.
I think that's genius. You came up with a It's not even a sister brand. You literally came up with a brand within the brand that speaks to a niche. And in your case, the niche wasn't a type of buyer or seller. It was a specific type of real estate. Is that right?
Yes, that's right.
I think that that's brilliant. I think it's brilliant.
Thank you.
I get it. I'm listening to all this and I totally get it. It sounds like you're running a very well-oiled machine. You're leaving very little to chance. Like you wake up every day and it sounds like you're running a life and a business built on models.
It really is. I mean, it's so funny because we go to so many events, whether most of them are Keller Williams events. And it's like, I take a little nugget from every single thing that I go to, whether it's a podcast or a book I read or a conference I go to, and we just implement like a little at a time. And it's really grown into something special, in my opinion. And it's been really fun to watch too. And, you know, the mission on our team is to change people's lives. And I feel like we've been able to do that. And that's been really the most fun part of all of it.
Let me ask you this, and if it's too personal, just say pass. Husband and wife teams have always been a mainstay within the real estate industry, and they're literally the core that Keller Williams is built on. Walk me through, how do you have a thriving relationship while having a thriving business and not ruining the whole thing?
It's so hard. I'm not going to say it's easy, but I think, you know, early on, one thing that me and Jason learned is that we both have to have boundaries and we have to know how to stay in our lane. So we kind of figured out, what am I in charge of? What are my responsibilities? What is he in charge of? What are his responsibilities? And I try not to cross into his lane and he tries not to cross into mine. And we tried to, I mean, that's been a huge part of how we're still married. At this point, you know, because it is hard. You work together, you live together, you're making these really big business decisions together. And also one thing that's been huge for us is we have a business lunch every Thursday. And so that's where we make all of our decisions. That's where we talk about business. And we do still take it home at night, let's be real. But we're not making big decisions at the dinner table with our kids sitting there. So Thursday is our business lunch. And that's where we make all the decisions.
I love it. So I got to ask, you look up now, I mean, you've hit a point where you make plenty of money. You can pretty much live where you want to live. You can buy the things you want to buy. You can go on the vacations you want to go on. You can do all that. What gets you up every day still going this hard?
Well, I love real estate. Like I said, I wanted to be a realtor in the 8th grade. So I'm like living my dream right now. And now Jason is more in retirement mode. He's played golf, I think, 3 times this week, but he'll move to the beach before I will. But I love real estate. I do. And so Jason always tells everybody she'll work till the day she dies. I love it. That's
The
just
best.
really it. I love it so much.
It's the greatest industry in the world, by the way. And I love it also. All right, Tricia, we want to invite you to our lightning round. We want to ask you some questions. We want the first things that come to your mind. Will you play with us?
Yes.
What is your favorite color?
Blue.
What is your favorite food?
Crawfish.
It's so good. Stop the lightning round. It's so good.
I love crawfish so much.
All right, back in. What's your favorite movie?
Dirty Dancing.
Stop the lightning round. It's so good also.
I've seen it so many times. I love it.
Best. Nobody puts baby in a corner. I love it too. Fantastic film. Back in, what is a book that you think everyone should read? Doesn't have to be MREA.
If you've lost a loved one, option B. It's called option B.
Ooh.
I recently lost my mom and a friend gave me this book and it really brought me out of a dark place. So if you've lost a loved one, option B will help.
I'm sorry about your mom.
Oh, thank you.
Is there a vacation spot that speaks to your heart? Is there somewhere we should all go? And I know what you're thinking is I don't want to tell everyone because then they'll be there. I promise no one will go except me.
Rosemary Beach in Florida.
Rosemary Beach in Florida. There it is. Tricia, I think that what y'all have done is nothing short of incredible. And I'm so grateful that you shared so openly with us. Thank you for everything you're doing for the real estate industry.
Thank you for having me. I've really enjoyed it.
There it is. Another one in the books. Here's what I take away from that. Hey, Jason, what's your aha? I'll tell you my aha. Tricia and Jason Gray, they own a space in the mindshare of their market. Think of it like this. Mindshare always comes before market share. And the reason for that is because people think thoughts before they take action. So whether she's at the tailgate or whether they're reaching out and having the events and all the other ways that she's connecting with the people, that fosters the mind share. Then when they have the thought, boom, I'm going to move, now the market share comes in. And they're looking for niches all over the place. If you love college football, boom, that's a niche we tailgate. But you heard what she said about the condominiums, the Condo Guys brand that she launched. Sell 100 condos as an agent and get into the Condo Guys brand. Now, all of a sudden, there's another niche. Anybody that wants to live in condos. What she's done is genius. She's looked up at a market and said, this is a microcosm of every market. And within a microcosm of any market, you're going to have niche markets. And I am going to own the mind share in each of those niches. That is genius. Friends, the last thing, lunch with her chosen on Thursdays. Did you hear it? Her and Jason get together every Thursday and they have a business lunch. And that's what keeps this thing as a married real estate team business owner from all being taken home at night. I think it's genius. All of us can probably set up some business lunches or dinners with the people that matter to us most. Friends, go forth and do likewise. There it is. That wraps another episode. Friends, I don't know what you're taking out of this. I really don't. I'll tell you what I want you to be taking out of it, which is these are the people that are having tremendously big lives. And the reason it's happening is because they're setting up the models and systems to do just that. Gary Keller told me that leadership is teaching people how to think so that they do the things they need to do when they need to do them so that ultimately they get the things they want when they want to have them. And that's what I want for you. You're all leaders, but it begins with leading ourselves. If you're enjoying this podcast, I want you to click the subscribe button anywhere that you get your podcasts. We want to be the voice in your head every single week. And every week we're dropping new content. We also send out a newsletter at the conclusion of every show to make sure that you get the highest points and the models and systems that were discussed. So if you want to sign up, I need your name and your email address. Head over to themillionaireagentpodcast.com. Millionaireagentpodcast.com. Enter your name and your email address, and every week that newsletter will be in your box. Friends, you just went on a journey. I hope that what happens between now and the next time we meet is absolutely wonderful for you. Thanks for listening. I'll see you next week.
This podcast is for general informational purposes only. The views, thoughts, and opinions of the guest represent those of the guest and not KWRI and its affiliates, and should not be construed as financial, economic, legal, tax, or other advice. This podcast is provided without any warranty or guarantee of its accuracy, completeness, timeliness, or results from using the information. Warning. You must comply with the TCPA and any other federal, state, or local laws, including for B2B calls and texts. Never call or text a number on any Do Not Call list, and do not use an auto dialer or artificial voice or pre-recorded messages without proper consent. Contact your attorney to ensure your compliance.